Let us pray. Heavenly Father, we're grateful again to be in the house of the Lord. Our minds are whirled with so many thoughts that you give us, thoughts that have not yet come in perhaps to their proper place, and yet they're in their proper place on the grounds that they're real and they mean something to us, but perhaps continuity, a certain amount of chronology according to the word be missing, but we know it's there, Lord. We pray that you'll help us to be so imbued and endued by it, Lord, that we'll be completely ready for that rapture, which we know we're getting into now, Father. We believe we're a part of it. We believe it's going on. We believe it's a great secret. We believe it's the working of God. Father, we're absolutely convinced of that. We simply don't have any other thoughts, because we know that if you don't do it, then it's not going to be done. You started it. You're going to have to finish it. You positively said, I have chosen you. At the end, it's the same thing. You do choose. It is the will of your Father which you do. All that come are given, and all that are given will come, and there will not be losing of any. We know this is the way it is. It's word piled upon word until it's all over. It's all of God, because it is of God. It is from God. It is for God. It is to God. We recognize this, Lord, and we're very grateful. It causes such a shout deep within our souls. Rejoice in our hearts and our minds. We magnify thy great and holy name. We commend ourselves unto you in this moment. In Jesus' name we pray, amen. You may be seated. I don't know, Brother, is that Brother Evans, is the amplifier got a voice compressor on it? I noticed that they listened to a tape. When my voice went down, we almost lost it on a tape. It should have a compressor, I guess. If there's something there, you can kind of work. It'll be fine. Now, it's kind of difficult. I don't know just what I'm going to do this morning. I'm going to do anything other than start to read out of the out of the rapture message as I did last Sunday, because there's just so much that can be said, and I oftentimes don't know just where to place it in the saying of it. But we'll just start off anyway here in the rapture tape. Now, we got to page 11 from page 6, and you notice that we started with Brother Branham in the backgrounding of the rapture. Now, remember that the subject is the rapture. Now, that's what you're dealing with. And this is far more extensive and intensive than most people realize. Now, we started sometime back on Wednesday night bringing you to the position where you understood that Brother Branham said that the rapture was a revelation that the bride was waiting for. Now, what people don't understand when Brother Branham says that, he goes back to the fact that every age has its own message. Every juncture has something that is vital to that particular period. Now, he also said that God reveals his word or interprets his word by bringing it to pass, by manifesting it. See? And in this particular hour, the majority of people have no concept that it takes a prophet. And so, therefore, they don't understand that there is a turning of the corner through that prophet. They don't understand many things that we stand for. So, when he brought out the fact there that this is a revelation the bride is waiting for, he is telling you that though you understand the fact there is to be a rapture, you don't know what the rapture really means. Now, there comes a time when you've got to know. It's as Paul was dealing with the sovereignty of God with the Gentiles. And I brought this out to your attention before in the book of Ephesians. And I suppose it's the second chapter. If not, we'll soon find out. It's the third chapter. He said here, for this cause I, Paul, the prisoner of Jesus Christ, for you Gentiles. So this is for the Gentiles. If you have heard of the dispensation of the grace of God which is given me to you, word. Now, there's a special dispensation, a period of time, that is given to the Gentiles that Paul was privy to. And whatever Paul had for them, when it runs out, then it's all over. You follow? All right, a lot of people don't even know that much. How that by revelation he made known unto me the mystery, as I wrote afore in a few words, whereby when you read, you may understand my knowledge and the mystery of Christ. Well, there's a mystery there that they are already into, has been explained to them, and he's going into it more fully. Now watch. Which in other generations was not made known unto the sons of men, as it is now revealed unto his holy apostles and prophets by the Spirit. Now you see, the intimation was there. The facts were there, but they were obscured and clouded until the actual entering into it. You follow me?
Amen.
You really follow me? Because if you don't, you're just like the rest of them. You've got to know you're in it. If you're not in it, you don't have a revelation. I'm sorry. I don't care if you're male, female, or child. Let's get this flat this morning. I'm not mad at anybody. You follow me? The prophet himself didn't know until he was into it. You've got to be a part of it before the foundation of the world. You've got to have had your representation. You have got to have been that ministerial word. Now, I know you're a little bit scared right now. It's not to scare anybody. But you see, we're not fooling. Everybody out there is fooling. We're not fooling. See? We've got no reason to fool. So we're not ashamed of the gospel of Jesus Christ. Now, which in other ages was not made on the Son of Man, as it is now revealed. See, it wasn't revealed. It was simply pointed to. They couldn't figure it. They couldn't understand it. They had Israel in there as a great nation, and the Gentiles flowing in, and hallelujah, they were top dogs, and you come through us, you ain't got it. Oh, blast, we come through Jesus the Christ.
Amen. Praise God. Right.
That was a nation. We're individuals. So it wasn't revealed. You follow me? A revelation, my brother, sister, is not something that suddenly comes on the scene as though it wasn't there. It was already moving. Remember those birds? Little bitsy bits of birds he saw. Then he saw a bigger bunch of birds. Then he saw the third one, which is angels. See, one pull, two pull, three pull. And everything had to do with the word. So Paul says back here, he said there was not just an intimation, there was an actual fact of the Gentiles coming in. What does it mean? Well, we'll get at it. Israel's a great and mighty nation with a king. Ah, oh, hogwash! God didn't want them to have a king. They wanted their own king. Now they said, oh, look at this great nation. Hallelujah. We wanted a king and God gave us a king. And now they're going to come through us. Ah, baloney! Stinking bunch of organization. God says, here's your king. They said, kill him. God said they would have a king. But getting the wrong king, brother, sister, brought all kinds of trouble. He didn't wait for revelation. Israel still all scrupled up. There's a few Israelites understand. They don't even believe in that 7-day war. Was it 70 or 60? Who gives a rip? 70. There are some old timers in Israel. They say if God hasn't done it, it ain't done. There's one thing they forget. He makes the wrath of man to praise him. Rabbis ain't half as smart as they think they are. So they went to the Talmud instead of the Torah. Now listen. That the Gentiles should be fellow heirs. An heir is not somebody that comes in by the same status. Pardon me. That's true. Let's get it this way. A fellow heir of the Jews means that they both have somebody leaving them mutually something. Then a true heir is not an heir that comes in by another heir. A true heir that's a brother doesn't come in by his brother. He comes in with his brother. And they have one father. Now that's what it says here. But Israel said, we're going to be the midwives, as it were. Well, they weren't going to be midwives, they were going to be the birthers. A midwife is not a birther, she just stands there to help out. And she takes her credit. Fatheads. You know what I'm thinking about right now, organization and everything else. How many souls I have won to Jesus? Well, the way you do the scriptures, he that winneth souls is wise. Well, that's another position. the Gentiles' fellow heir and of the same body, and partakers of his promise in Christ by the gospel, whereof I was made a minister, according to the gift of the grace of God, given unto me by the effectual working of his power. Unto me, am least of all the saints in this grace given, I should preach among the Gentiles, search rich for Christ, and so on. All right. It's not that the rapture isn't in the book. Brother Brandt said every Christian believes it. Well, pre-trib, middle trib, post-trib, pre-millennial, post-millennial. Everybody believes something about it. You got it. If you believe the earth's going to get dissolved, where does the people finally go? They got to get caught up. So you can get the rapture in a dozen places according to thinking. But the point is, where is the rapture? Who has the revelation of the assertion? Who has the revelation of the Word of God concerning it? And Brother Branham said, nobody but me has the revelation. And they said, all Pentecostals have very touchy stomachs. They stumble over, they'll vomit over fresh apricots and peaches and delicious fresh bread. But they'll num for vomit and manure. Well, I don't have a manure head and a manure appetite. I'm strictly gourmet for the manna. I understand fully well the manna doesn't cheat. Yesterday's manna is gone. It was all right to probe and to guess, but when the seals opened, one man had the definitive revelation, or this Bible. Forget it. Forget it. Forget it. Who needs it? Starting with sin in the garden. Who knew what the sin was? They probed at it. They guessed at it because the secret of the copulation of Eve with the serpent was forgotten. It died as a true revelation. A little thread was there, but nobody knew for sure unless a prophet proclaimed it. The seed of woman, what about it? It was there, but who knew it? And who knew it was a virgin until an angel came down and said to the woman, the Holy Ghost will come upon you. You don't need a man. You see, setting it straight. So Brother Branham said categorically, let your thinking go. Now, I don't know where the Roman Catholics put the rapture, but it's quite likely they put it somewhere maybe at the end of the millennium. I don't know. I can't remember anymore if I ever did know. There are those who put it at the beginning of the millennium, which means that it's after the Great Tribulation, if such a thing there really is. Now, we put the rapture just before the Great Tribulation, at the end of the Gentile age, and before the two messengers, prophets, come to Israel. Now, there's where we put it. Now, I want you to notice something, and there again, we're not going to worry how I get this message across this morning. Because my thinking is in various channels, and I'm going to just follow my thinking. We're going to go to Ezekiel, the first chapter. And this may be why I've had funny feelings all this week, wondering if I'd even be able to say something up on this pulpit till I got here. I got my notes, everything, don't worry. But we're not going to worry about them. Now it says here, this man Ezekiel, he was by the river of Chebar, and the heavens were open, and I saw visions of God. He never saw visions from God. He saw visions of God. He saw God in a vision. Anything that could be seen of God in a vision, he saw. Now remember, this is a prophet that God appeared to in vision, not like Moses. No, not like Moses. Never appeared in visions. There it was, apparently. Pillar of fire. The fifth day of the month, which was the fifth year of the King Jehoiakim's captivity. That's great, without a doubt. The word of the Lord came unto Ezekiel the priest, the son of Buzi, in the land of the Chaldeans, the river Chebar, and the hand of the Lord was there upon him. Now here's the hand of the Lord upon him, the same like with John. Now remember, we are literally reading the book of Revelation, chapter 5. and literally a part of chapter 1. And I looked, and behold, a whirlwind came out of the north. All right? Remember, we got a vision. A great cloud and a fire enfolding itself. And a brightness was about it, not the midst of the color of amber, out of the midst of the fire. Now, Brother Branham said it was amber. Now, he could lie to us. No problem. I don't believe he did. Well, you say, what do you mean he lied? Well, he could have pretended he was Ezekiel or somebody, but he didn't. It was amber. Out of the midst of the earth came the likeness of four living creatures. Now watch the unfolding of God. And this was their appearance. He had the likeness of a man. Well, what else should it be? When Moses saw him, even apparently, hidden at the cleft of the rock, with his God's hand in front of him, he saw the back of a man. All right? And everyone had four faces, everyone had four wings. Well, the midst of four living creatures, you got that. And their feet were straight feet. The soles of their feet was like the sole of a calf foot. They sparkled like the color of the burnished brass. Now that's typical. Feet of brass, judgment. And they had the hands of a man under their wings on their four sides. They had four had their faces and their wings. Their wings joined one another. They turned not when they went. They went every one straight forward. As for the likeness of their faces, they had four. The four had the face of a man, the face of a lion, the face of an ox, the face of an eagle. Thus were their faces. And their wings stretched upward. Two wings, every one, joined one to another to cover their bodies. And they went every one straight forward where the Spirit was to go, they went. They turned not when they went. As the likeness of living creatures, their appearance was like burning coals of fire, the appearance of lamps, and it went up and down among the living creatures. And the fire was bright. Of the fire went forth lightning. And the living creatures ran and returned as the appearance of a flash of lightning. You notice what you, all the things you see in there are actually relative to the revelation of God in the ages of Israel. And also pertains to this hour, but in a little different category. Now as I beheld the living creatures, behold one wheel upon the earth by the living creatures with these four faces. The appearance of the wheels and their work was like unto color of beryl. They had the four had one likeness. Their appearance and their work was as a wheel in the middle of a wheel. All right? In other words, there's a wheel in the middle of the wheel. There's an inner and an outer movement. And you can see the outer movement. If you don't catch the inner movement, you don't know what's behind the outer movement. In other words, I don't care what God does unless there's a revelation of what he's doing. You've missed it.
That's right.
The wheel within a wheel. Now, when they went upon their four sides, and they turned not when they went. As for their rings, they were so high they were dreadful. And their rings were full of eyes round about them four. And the living creatures, and these are not flying saucers like people try to make, you know, machines with run by gas and stuff. When the living creatures went, the wheels went by them. Living creatures were lifted up in the earth, the wheels were lifted up. Whithersoever the Spirit was to go, they went. Thither was their Spirit to go, and the wheels were lifted up over against them, for the Spirit of the living creatures was in the wheels. In other words, you've got a manifestation of the Spirit of God moving in our day in the latter rain, and the Spirit of God in the inner wheel moving in the former rain. Because the latter rain and the former rain fall together. One is a manifestation of power, and one is a manifestation of word, a revelation. Okay. And they're both here at the same time. And you can't have one without the other. See? When those went, these went. When those stood still, those stood still. When those lifted up, they were lifted up. For the Spirit of the living creature was there in the wheel. Now that's the part that hit the earth. Considering motion. Manifestation. And the likeness of the firmament above the heads of the living creature was the color of terrible crystal. Stretched forth over their heads above. And under the firmament, their wings straight, and one toward the other, every one had two, which covered on this side, every one had two, which covered on that side their body. And when they went, I heard the noise of their wings, like the noise of great waters. All right? The great waters of revelation is the voice of many men. To say nothing but the word of God. As the voice of the Almighty, as in thunder is coming forth in great things. The voice of speech, it's articulated so that men may know the word of God positively. And the noise of a host. In other words, all of the coast encampment of heaven is with that word. And when they stood, they let their wings down. There was a voice from the firmament that was over their heads when they stood and let their wings down. In other words, you're seeing about standing. You're talking about wheels standing still. You're seeing how the revelation is coming forth from the throne. And above the firmament that was over their heads as the sky was the likeness of a throne. As the appearance of a sapphire stone. Now remember, that's the same as Revelation 4, the one to look upon. And the likeness of the throne was the likeness of the appearance of man above it. I think I should have said chapter 4 instead of chapter 5 at the beginning of where the throne is in the beast. And I saw the color of amber as the appearance of fire round it, about it within it. Notice it's around within. Now notice the fire is around within, the wheels are around within. From the appearance of his loins even upward, and from the appearance of his loins even downward, I saw as it were the appearance of fire, and it had brightness round about, as the appearance of the bow that is in the cloud in the day of rain. So was the appearance of the brightness round about. This was the appearance of the likeness of the glory of God. Now he's talking about the literal Shekinah glory, that which is attendant upon the presence of God that Brother Branham said was here, which it is. And when I saw it, I fell upon my face, and I heard a voice of one that spoke. And he said, Son of man, stand upon your feet, and I'll speak unto you. And the Spirit entered into me when he spake unto me. Notice that when he spoke, the Spirit entered into him. Now, a lot of people don't want that. They don't believe Hebrews 1 and 1, that God was in the prophet, and it was the Spirit. They don't want to recognize that Brother Branham was neither the Son of Man nor the pillar of fire. But the Spirit was, but the Son of Man was in spirit form and was in the prophet. See? And the Spirit entered me when he spoke unto me and set me upon my feet, and I heard him and spake unto me. And he said unto me, Son of Man, I send you the children of Israel, to rebellious nation that rebelled against me, and they and their fathers have transgressed against me even unto this very day. For they are impudent, children and stiff hearted. They're impudent means they're actually brazen in repudiation of what will be said to them under divine inspiration and no doubt vindication. Stiff hearted. I do send thee unto them, and thou shalt say, Thus saith the Lord God. Now watch, thus saith the Lord. This is the thus saith the Lord prophet. And remember, he's the one with vision. This is in a vision. This is not apparent as it was with Moses and with Paul and with William Branham. See? And they, whether they will hear, whether they'll forbear, they are rebellious out. Yet shall know that they will forbear, they will know that there has been a prophet among them. Now it says they won't maybe pay attention, but they're going to know this one thing, that you were a prophet. Now you tell me different, Brother Branham. And thou, Son of Man, be not afraid of them, neither be afraid of their words. Though briars and thorns be with thee, and thou dost dwell among scorpions, be not afraid of their words. In other words, the people that Brother Branham was in the midst of could bite him just the same as they bit Jesus and any other prophet. Now, don't be afraid of their words, because that's where the briars and the thorns are. You see, you're going to be destroyed by your word and what you believe. Or you're going to be kept by your word and what you believe. Don't be dismayed at their looks, for they're a rebellious house. And thou shalt speak thy words unto them, whether they will hear, whether they'll forbear. For they're rebellious, most rebellious. In other words, you notice how he quickens the word rebellion to most rebellious. For thou, O Son of Man, hear what I said to thee. Be not thou rebellious like unto that rebellious house. Open thy mouth and eat that I shall give thee. Now there again you notice the prophet has got to take before he gives to others. William Branham and Moses lived by the same word as Paul did, that the people he gives it to. When I looked, behold, a hand was sent unto me, and a roll was therein. In other words, a scroll, which is a manuscript. And he spread it before me as written within and without. The same thing in the book of Revelation. Both sides are written thereon, so you can't add or take from it. And therein was written lamentations and mourning and woe. Now all he's got to do then is open the book that was sealed and bring forth the day of the vengeance of our God. This one did the same thing, lamentations of woe. The opening of the seals, therefore, is prior to the great tribulation. As Revelation 22 and says, seal not the saints of this book, for the time is at hand. He's righteous, righteous still, filthy, filthy still. And then all these other things, don't add to the plagues you're adding and so on. Your name's in the book. More, he said unto me, Son of man, eat what you find. Eat this roll. Then speak to the house of Israel. I opened my mouth, and he caused me to eat the roll. And he said, Son of man, cause thy belly to eat, and fill thy bowels this roll, and I give thee. And then I ate it with honey in my mouth and sweetness. And he said, Son of man, and then of course, then John has had to turn to bitterness. Son of man, go get thee to speak to the house of Israel. Speak with the words, with my words unto them. Now notice what he said right here. He said, you will eat this the same as they do. It's going to bring forth lamentations and woe and mourning, but it's going to be sweet to you. Now this is where people don't understand the day of the Lord as I'm trying to preach it. I've become an ogre. Every kind of a miscreant and a foul-minded person just want to see people piled on people until they're rubble and going to hell. That is not it. But this is the day of the Lord. That somebody's going to try to shut my mouth and make me stand back. They're crazy and hoot owls. I'm going to tell you one thing. Somebody's going to see somebody roast. The dove and the crow are on the same branch. Oh, don't try to change it, people. Don't get abusive, but don't try to change it. You're just too nice. Yeah. Let's get her down flat. Ezekiel wasn't too nice. What do you think a prophet feels like to open a book that's going to cause condemnation? That stands up and says, there's a bomb written for America, you're going to need it. I don't pray for America anymore. Oh, said that great duplicity when Brother Branham preached to discuss the West Coast. He said he got judged. He was happy to see Brother Branham smeared across the road or bust up in a car. I got the letter somewhere. Sneering. The man that brought Pentecost to Rome and condemned millions of souls to hell stood up and said, sweet name. Hobnobbing with the elect of the Roman Catholic Church. That's the bosom buddy. The one of the pseudo-filled men said, oh, sir, Mr. Duplessis, what message can I give to the Holy Father? Holy. But I'm mad. A man stands up, Holy Father, and a Protestant bows down to it, Holy Father. Let me tell you something. The Catholic people rose up and said, if we'd have had Pope John 23 instead of Leo, Luther wouldn't have left. That's the same thing they said. Our fathers wouldn't have killed. If we'd have been there, we would not have killed the prophets. And he said, prove you're the children of those same lousy, rotten ones that killed the prophets. And you're guilty of the blood. Now where does the Catholic Church stand? Now where does the Protestant stand? I wonder where they stand. You think Brother Branham wanted to stand up and say, this whole generation is condemned? You think I like standing up here when I know there's a nice way to be sweet and nice and nice and sweet? Because I'll tell you one thing. You don't draw many flies as vinegar. Yeah. Holy priest. Let me tell you something. Hell is not holy. Heaven is holy. Earth is not holy. No man is holy. There's a holy God. They stand up and vaunt themselves. Sure. Said right here, he's going to be sweet to you. I'm going to tell you something. This man was a judgment prophet. Brother Branham was a judgment prophet. True. Poor kid Bobby Lambert stood up. He thought he was a judgment prophet. And Brother Branham said, if you think you're a judgment prophet, you better know what you're saying, what you're doing. He was a judgment prophet on nothing. But I'm going to tell you one thing. He could have preached the prophet's judgment method. Had he been a pastor, he would have been a pastor of judgment. Of discernment. Why do you think I preached in Columbus the way I did? It took 14 points. Or you can discern the size. You can discern all that out there. But isn't it funny? As soon as someone comes on to sing sweet and nice, you're seduced. Let me tell you something. A woman seduced or raped has been taken, regardless of how it was done. And I would sooner know that a woman was raped and seduced because it showed she didn't put her mind to it. She was forced to it. Yes. Let's get that flat you women sitting here, young people. And men had better rape than seduce also. Yeah. If you're brother there, don't brother there me. I know what I'm saying. Now wait a little time to say this, too. I'm not mad at anybody here. I ain't no judgment teacher. When I preach this message, let me tell you, flat, there is judgment. And I'm not preaching for myself because I ain't got one thing to do, because I know this about it. That I can be condemned as anybody else can be condemned. And the foundation of God standeth forever in this field. The Lord knows them that are His. And nobody else does. We can't sit here and say, well, we got it made. We haven't. Let me tell you, He's got it made. And He's for us, we got it made, but only in that condition. There's going to be sweetness. A judgment message. Why? Because as the prophet said, our prophet said many times, look up, he said, when you see these signs, what signs? Judgment in the land. Rejoice and be glad. But there's a squeeze coming down too. Oh, sure. People can't understand why we don't run to the excess that they run to. He said, son of man, go speak in the house of Israel, speak my words unto them. For thou art not sent to a people of a strange speech, of a hard language, but the house of Israel. Now notice, he said, I'm sending you to a certain people. Not worldwide. How many places did Brother Branham go outside where the English language is spoken? Not very many. The house of Israel will not hearken. They'll not hearken unto you. For the impudent and hard-hearted, they're brazen, they're brassy. They're smarty pants. We're rich, we're increased in goods, we don't lack a thing. Don't tell us we need dressing. We've got the Holy Ghost. We spoke in tongues. Sure. We've got the manifestation. Let me tell you fact, brother, sister. There is only one spirit when it comes to gifts. Yes, one spirit when it comes to gifts. And the righteous have gifts. And the unrighteous have gifts. But there's only one spirit when it comes to the word. It's real. It's true. You follow me? The word makes a difference. The gifts are bringing the Roman Catholics and Protestants, everybody together. And the word is separating the chaff from the wheat. You do what you want. I know what I'm talking about. Now he said, they'll not understand. They won't listen. I have made thy face strong against their faces, thy forehead strong against their forehead. Isn't it funny? People come from around the world. They come over here and they say, Bill's got the worst spirit in the world. Terry Spoke's got the worst spirit in the world. Roger Smith got the worst spirit in the world. Mike Hunt's got the worst spirit. Why? Because our foreheads are strong. We're not got poor foreheads. Poor foreheads. They can have their poor foreheads. I've got a strong forehead as a whore any day of the week. Yes, sir. The same ones like the whore, they partake of their miserable, rotten intercourse, and it says she commits her intercourse, she charges money for it. Join our church, give so much. We'll pray for it, get you out of purgatory, all that kind of hogwash and nonsense. And that whore's forehead, you can't stop her from her adultery, because it's her easy, nice life. She likes it. She's in a business. She's in a racket. A whore's forehead. And when she goes through the act, no more eating a piece of bread and wiping her mouth. There's your rotten prostitutes of Roman Protestantism. I'm going to tell you what. He said, your forehead's going to be strong against their foreheads. And these guys say, oh, no. And no, you mustn't be that way. When they lie about you and they do, and they seduce the word and everything else, you're supposed to stand back and say, pretty Jesus, nice Jesus, I'm a nice fellow. Brother Branham categorically said that those who leave the word, we don't fellowship with them. Get away. They talk about oneness with God. How do you get one with God? Until first you're one with the word. Well, they say, I don't believe that, then you'll be the old guy. Coarse forehead. Jesus set his face like a friend. How did William Branham feel knowing he's going down that road that day to be killed in that wreck? You say, tore his guts up. You better tore his guts up. Oh, but Jesus didn't have any guts, did he? Let this cup pass, but nevertheless let it be thy will. And he sweat, as it were, drops of blood. He didn't have any whore's forehead.
Why did your old great Caiaphas, all that quiz, all that keep? Oh, long as we get together, it's all fine. 5 generations of vipers, said John, who warned you of Peter's wrath to come? And Christ came on with the same story. Let them know they circumnavigated the whole globe with their dirty, rotten, filthy lies and tricks to make a more twofold child of hell. And let me tell you, this age goes down with a 7 more fold child of hell than the first age. Because a couple of niggers there, you see. I'm not mad, I'm just telling you. I'm no judgment teacher, I'm just preaching the Word of God. You do what you want with it. As an adamant harder than flint have I made thy forehead. Oh, they'll butt their heads against ours, and their heads one day will shatter. We're going to stand there. Oh, you say, Brother Vail, don't Brother Vail me. Look, I'm still on the rapture, honey, and you don't know it. Thank you. Whether you know it or not. Yeah, I'm still in the rapture. You didn't know that. You thought I'd gone up the rapture. See, I fooled a whole bunch of you. Except maybe one. Till I jarred your brains, brought you back. What do you say? Prove it. Just give me time. I'm backgrounding. Got a lot of background. Got a lot of foreground, too. You're not kidding anybody. I've made your face, he said, hard in the flint. Now, he said, I made that for it. Pure as I'm not. Neither be dismayed at their looks. If looks could kill, we'd be dead. Your rebellious house. Moses said, Son of man, all my words I shall speak unto thee, receive in thine heart, and hear with your ears. Two places, heart and ears. You know something, brother, sister? Brother Brand categorically said, when this heart and this word gets lined up with him, perfection. Amen. We're getting there. And go thee to them, and get thee to them of the captivity unto children of the people, speak to them. What captivity? Rome. Protestantism. Tell them, thus saith the Lord God, whether they will hear, whether they'll forbear. How many times did Brother Brand say, thus saith the Lord? Thousands of times. Did they listen? Oh no, they had it too. But they didn't. Then the Spirit took me up and heard behind me a voice, a great rushing thing. Now, great rushing means it's accelerated. Blessed be the glory of the Lord from His place. Robert, you said you're going to see the glory of God. Coming on the earth. I heard the voice, the wings living creatures that touched one another, the noise, the wheels over against them, the noise of a great rushing. The Spirit lifted me up and took me and went in bitterness and the heat of my spirit. But the hand of the Lord was strong upon me. Why do you say that? What do you mean? Why, this man had inner cavities. He had feelings. I saw Brother Branham when the handwriting wrote on the wall, and the pillar and the fire wrote on the wall. He looked like a hunted, trapped animal. Never saw a man so trapped and scared in my life. The rest of the world goes around saying, I saw Jesus. He looked from the drapes of the window. Nice little boy, nice little girl. Sweet, 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 sweet. They didn't see Jesus. They saw something foisted on them by the devil. You can't even have a vision, not have the literally the stomach torn out of you. You can't have revelation hit your real heart, but suddenly you just start to just go to pieces like water. Still God. Then watch the strength come in you, though. See, God lets you get down where you ain't nothing, then He'll grab a hold and you put you up. he was, and he said, and terrible. He was right down, but the hand of the Lord was strong upon him. Then I came to captivity of Tel Aviv. That's Tel Aviv they got over there now, but it's not the same thing. Could be the same city, but we're in our hour. By the river Chebar, sat where they sat. Remained there astonished on the 7 days, 7 church ages. Now their words, and here's the end time now, the 7. Son of man, I made thee a watchman unto the house of Israel. Brother Branham was a messenger unto the house of the Gentiles, the end time. And except the Lord watch the house, the city watches, this watchman watches, but in vain. Or watch the city, see? In other words, God got to be there. The man's no watchman. If God's not there, he's a liar, he's a phony. The only reason this man, the prophet, was a watchman because of God. No other reason. No way. When I say unto the wicked, give him a warning, he said. When I say the wicked, you'll surely die, and give him not the warning, nor speak to warn the wicked from his wicked way to save his life. The same wicked man died in iniquity. His blood will I require at your hand. Now watch where the prophet stands. Now Balaam was a prophet, but not a true prophet of God. He never stood there. Never stood there. No, sirree, brother, sister. He wouldn't stand with that word. He betrayed the word that God gave him and got the people into sin. And he died in battle against Israel. Now, this one tells you right here. A true prophet's been it. He's going to take it. Yet if thou warn the wicked, he turn not from his wickedness. Nor the wicked from his way, he shall die in his iniquity. But you've delivered your soul. When a righteous man to turn his righteousness commit iniquity, I'll lay a stumbling block before him. Now notice this happens in every church age. At the tail end, when the truth is petered out, and those men are living in a place where they could take the word and turn it down, they're gone. Now the glory of Pentecost was the greatest glory from Luther and Wesley. But this glory won't fade. So Wesley came on the scene, Catholics died. It was over. Luther, I beg your pardon. Wesley came on, Lutheranism died. When Pentecost came, Westernism died. When this came, it all died. And yet this gave life to everybody, bring them out of the grave even. Now, he said, you got to warn that person. Now remember, at the time that this prophet comes, the blood of everybody on his own head, the minute the prophet brings the word. Then why'd they get so enamored with the signs and wonders? Why don't you understand the third pull is the word? See, they blew it. They shot it. All right. But you delivered your soul. And the hand of the Lord is there upon me. He said to me, arise and go forth to the plain. And I'll speak with talk with you there. I rose and went to the plain. Behold, the glory of the Lord stood there, as the glory which I saw by the river Chebar, and it fell upon my face. Then the Spirit entered me and set me upon my feet. Spake unto me and said, go shut thyself within the house. But thou, O son of man, behold, they shall put bands upon thee and bind thee, and shall not, thou shalt not go among them. Now, that's exactly what happened. Who was it kept Brother Branham from the people? And the people, the clergymen, the preacher, organization. I will make that tongue cleave the roof of thy mouth, and he will remain dumb, and shall not be to them a reprover for their rebellious house. The day came when Brother Branham had no more to say to them. He said, it's over. From there on, it was all for the bride. Whatever warning there was simply to warn the bride. When I speak, I'll open your mouth, and you'll say, thus saith the Lord, to warn the wicked way to save his life. The same wicked, thus saith the Lord God, he that heareth, let him hear. And he that forbears, let him forbear. They're a rebellious house. Now then it comes down to a one-to-one basis. All right, now what I laid this in here for was to show you that back over here where John is speaking, getting his revelation, in the fourth chapter, it says there were four beasts full of eyes before and behind. They are the same ones that were seen by Ezekiel. Now watch. The first was a lion, the second a cat, the third had a face of man, the fourth beast was like a flying eagle. Now, remember what you're looking at here, to get our understanding. There are seven church age messengers, and the seventh was a prophet. Now those seven church ages are identified with four periods. The lion, the calf, the man, and the eagle. Now, there is no one messenger that was the lion. There was no one messenger that was the calf. There was no one messenger that was the man. And there is no messenger, seventh church age, that's the eagle, even though prophets are considered eagles. This is not William Branham. No way. No way, shape, and form is not William Branham. William Branham is Revelation 10 and 7. This is the spirit of four manifestations or spirit throughout the seven church ages. The Spirit of God moved forth at the first time as a lion. He moved forth as a young calf for the sacrifice, martyrs. He moved forth as the face of a man, which was under Luther and to this age. But the last age is God in revelation. The same as back here with Ezekiel. as Israel had a son of man as a showdown. This age has a son of man as a showdown. Now, you can't make Brother Branham Revelation chapter 4 no way, shape, and form. But it's in the hour that God takes upon Himself the manifested form of the eagle. It is the hour of the prophetic. Now, Brother Branham is the prophet, but he's not God. See, that's what I want you to understand here. Because it's very important. Now, in this hour of the prophet, when God is this great revelation, this great creature that is represented, the spirit that is rampant or manifest and demonstrated in the last hour is the word coming to the people. Now let's watch that word. The word coming to the people. What is it? Revelation 10 and 7. In the days of the voice of the seventh church age messenger, the prophet William Branham, when he shall begin to sound, the mystery of God shall be perfected, concluded, polished off, as God has declared the good news of the gospel to his servants the prophets. Now he's telling you right here that this man is going to have the last and telling effect of whatever mysteries are to be concluded in this hour. God revealed. And the mysterious God fully revealed as to what is in this hour according to what He is to be in this hour, which is the Word. In the beginning was the Word in flesh. But one of these beasts is not Jesus. I'm sorry. Jesus is taken up, the body's taken up behind the throne on the mercy seat. And that body doesn't come forth. But the manifestation comes forth fourfold. Number one is a lion. Number two as the cat. Number three is the man. Number four as the Word. In other words, as the Word was made flesh, that same Word that was made flesh now has to manifest in a spirit form. That's what you're talking about. That's why the fourth one has the face of an eagle. He's up there, and he's bringing us this Word. And at this time, when he begins to sound, in other words, it is his ministry, which is the message, which is a part of the rapture. The mystery of God should be finished. All right, remember there was a mystery concerning the Gentiles when they came in, and there's a mystery concerning them when they go out. Got to be Alpha and Omega. Now the mystery of the Gentiles going out is a rapture. The mystery of the Gentiles coming in is a baptism with the Holy Ghost. You say, prove it. I'll be glad to. I don't have any trouble proving the things that I say. Keep your fingers crossed in that one. If it's in the Spirit, I don't have any trouble. Christ hath redeemed us from the curse of the law, being made a curse for us, as is written. Cursed is everyone that hangeth on a tree, that the blessing of Abraham might come on the Gentiles through Jesus Christ, that we might receive the promise of the Spirit through faith. There it is right there. The baptism with the Holy Ghost. The beginning of the mystery. Now, it runs out. And when it's all over, what happens? And there's only one thing, you're back to headship. Why? Because to the Gentiles comes Ephesians, the fourth chapter. Notice, in that fourth chapter, but unto every one of us is given according to the measure of the gift of Christ. It tells you right there, according to the measure of the gift of Christ. What is Christ? He's all of it. There's a great anointing. So therefore, there's a measure. What measure? The measure until it all runs out. He came as a pillar of fire. Israel got a little dabble of the baptism of the Holy Ghost. But they turned him down, so no way could Israel have the Holy Ghost in there and priest ministering is all over. No way they botched it, they ruined it, it's gone. You'll never recover, it's over. Israel hasn't got one thing till David comes down in the flesh. That's King David, our mighty David. They blew it. But you see, the Gentiles didn't get the flesh. They got the Holy Spirit in the form of light. So the measure of the Spirit in every age was a measure of the Word and the infilling in each one till they came back to the Word in Spirit form. Because you got it rough unto him. From what comes down grows up to him. Do you see what I'm talking about? I haven't got time to let you all ask questions, but if you don't see this, you are missing what everybody's missing about Brother Branham's message. There's a portion in every age until it's over. And there's no more. Now under the seven church age messenger, it's all finished. Now, what finishes Israel, the Gentile? Back to headship. Why headship? To raise the dead. And get us out of here. Rapture. So therefore, the mystery of the rapture is under the seals, as it was under the seals in the day of Israel, and couldn't come out until Acts the 13th chapter. Let's go and look at it. Verse 46, then Paul and Barnabas waxed bold and said, necessary the word of God be spoken first to you Jews, but seeing you put it from you Jews and judge yourself Jews of everlasting life, we turn to the Gentiles. There you are. Now that was already given to Paul in the 9th chapter, where he meets Jehovah in a pillar of fire. Verse 15, to bear my name before the Gentiles and kings and the children of Israel. And notice, Israel is put below Gentiles and kings. So Paul was for the Gentiles. Alright. The manifestation came in the literal fulfillment. And he said, you Ephesians know my ministry in this because you're a part of it. Now what about Reverend William Brown coming to the end time prophet of God with the ministry of the rapture? Oh, you say just a minute. Don't just a minute me, because Paul never put anybody into Christ. Paul never put anybody out of Christ. Paul just had a word. And you know what that word of sweetness was? Honey to the Gentiles and wrath and destruction to Israel because they fell in 70 A.D. Oh, you say the Gentiles should have said, now far be it from thee, Lord, to let judgment fall upon those Jews. Or they rejoiced so glad that they were a part of it. They were not judgment-minded, my brother, my sister. They tell me certain churches of people are going around judging people. If you ever start that here, I'll knock you on the other 4x4. And you'll never get back in this church again, tell you right now. I don't have a judgment to anybody and preach on anybody. What I'm preaching is strictly a word of God. And I go to nobody, I fuss with nobody. That's why you don't find me coming to you and talking to you people. You say, well, you're not a very good pastor. Never said it was. But I'm a good teacher. Or whatever gift I got. And I'll stick right with it. Because we're not dealing now with the ABCs anymore, brother, sister. Here's a great sculptor. Here he is, this great sculptor. You know what? He's just like Michelangelo. And he makes a beautiful statue of Moses. And of course, the word of God, the word that Brother Branham preached was, he screamed, speak! And he was so thrilled at his own words that he bruised it. He knocked the chip off. Well, let's just take another picture. Here's Michelangelo. He's got his beautiful sculpture of Christ or Moses all done. And he says, well, now he said it's all finished. I think he said, since it's all finished, I'll start on the feet again. Well, then it wasn't finished. Finished is finished. Finished is finished. That's what it says here. In the days of this seventh man, the mystery, that which must be revealed to the Word, that which was hidden in there. Now we don't need what was past. He only brings it to the forefront now not to encapsulate, but to, what is the word? Put a cap on. That's exactly what he did. He came with capstone revelation. With a capstone ministry. With a capstone word. When he did, he stood before the Pope, and he said, I will now tell you the rapture, of which you have guessed at. Well, then they guessed at it was under the seal, and locked in there. It wasn't that it wasn't there. It was there. And they said, oh, great rapture's coming, and it's going to be a secret rapture. And he said, aha, exactly right. Exactly right, he said, secret rapture. But he said, you don't know the truth of it. It's in three parts. He said, three parts? Oh, yes, three parts. Don't you know he descends with the shout and the voice and the trumpet? Oh, they said, very true, very true. And they said, now let me tell you where you're wrong. You don't know the first thing about the shout. And they said, any jackass can tell a shout. Yeah, that's a shout. Well, they said, now hold it. It's not quite that. It's a military command. Okay, get ready down there. I'm coming. You're guessing. Prove it. What's the show? Now, the next thing, hold it, hold it. It says it's not even the Lord's voice. Well, that's where the Pope comes in, bless God. Because he's the big shot. Holy Pope, Holy Father. Yeah, get down to Holy Lake of Fire. It will be when God's finished. It will be. Yeah. Oh, yeah. Baal's too crude, you know. I never said it wasn't. I'll get my point across. You do what you want at your life. I got mine. You know, the strange thing people don't realize, once a man preaches the word, if it is the word, it's all over. Oh, Brother Branham, come hold my hand. Hogwash. Oh, Brother Branham, great prophet, why don't you deal with me as a person? Because I've got complexes. I had them. He was going to help me one time, but I never got with him. I'm going to tell you one thing. God by himself can do a million times more than any prophet can do trying to deal with all the people. That prophet, bring that word, my brother, my sister. That's all that is necessary because the life is in the word. And if the word is in you, the life is in you. What do you want for your nickel? Oh, brother, when the prophet dropped the word, he does this, and he does this, and he does this. Oh, come on, you've got them galloping across the prairie into the fading sunset. I've got them caught up in a rapture, never fading glory of Almighty God, not ambling off in the west like a bunch of stupid cowboys. Fact, who's got time for cowboys? They herd cows, shepherds and sheep. Let's get her down pat. Yeah, he said, here we turn to the Gentiles. I've set thee as a light. You should be for their salvation through. And when the Gentiles heard this, they were glad. They glorified the Lord. And they said, whoopee, he's left the Jews and will be glad when they all get condemned to hell because they crucified the lovely one. Can't wait for the blisters to fall on them Jews. Can't wait for them to burn. They never said that at all. They said, praise God that he chose us. But they knew the judgment would come. Are we any different? Are we going to hold it back? You know something, brother, sister? I just want to bring this to your attention. But I have every reason to believe that Noah had nephews and nieces that screamed outside that door when the door was shut. Kind of makes you sick inside, doesn't it? And I can see Noah prying the lid off. Saying, bless God, if they don't go, I don't go. The fear of the Lord, my brother, sister, is a funny thing. You don't have father, mother, sister, brother. Neither did Brother Branham. Or you say, my uncle, my cousin, my father, my... this. Oh, I don't care. That's fine. If you want to listen in, that's fine. But judgment is stalking the land. See? I want to tell you, brother, sister, you and I are in our own shoes, and we answer to God in our own shoes, not somebody else's. So Brother Branham says, here, I'm speaking on the rapture. He said, nobody's got the right thoughts about it. Now look at, remember, Brother Branham was not Revelation 4, the creature with the eagle face. Uh-uh. That's the Spirit of God. In this hour, William Branham was Revelation 10 and 7. And that spirit epitomized in Revelation 4 came down in Revelation 10 and 1. And Revelation 10 and 1, feet were on land and sea the same time the prophet was here.
Amen.
And he's still here.
Amen.
Oh, I know a lot of folk don't believe that. They think kind of like a yo-yo went up and down. I've got news for you. The dead haven't been raised. And he came down to raise the dead.
Amen.
And he hasn't got his headship yet. And he's here to make himself the head. Now, what are they talking about? I know what they're talking about, and I care less. And they say, well, you see, brother, it's not the doctrine. It's the spirit that goes with it. What am I supposed to have? What am I supposed to have against a whore's forehead? Come on, baby, I'll kiss you and crawl in bed with you. You know something? I ain't got the stomach for other women. You don't say, Brother Vale, you're too old, because they ain't too old. I've never been too old, and I may never be too old. So get that crap out of your mind. I'm talking truth. You want prostitutes, you can have them. If you think some new thing out there is worth your time, you shack up, because that's all you got in you anyway. Because you haven't even got conjugal or conjugal, yeah, but they want love, call it right. Because Brother Branham said, if I let my wife do that, or I want to, I don't love her right. Not even filial love. The whole thing is so bastardized. And why not? Because the whole thing came out of a house of prostitution. Rome. Vati Cain, the house of Cain, is what it really spells out. Exactly what it means. Vatican, Vati Cain, the house of Cain. The house of murdered scripture. The adulterous worship. So Brother Branham said, there's not one of you got it right. Oh, he said, you knew it was there. Sure. Israel knew there's something about Abraham and the Gentiles. What was it? Well, let's find out. So one day God knocks down Paul, whams him down flat with a pillar of light. He said, where are you, Lord? He said, I'm Jesus. Who do you expect? Well, who are you expecting? Come on. Everybody says they believe Jesus, believe Jesus, believe Jesus, believe Jesus. He's gone back to pillar of fire. Who are you expecting? See, that wasn't any snide remark I brought up. A little flashy crack was very good, wasn't it? Oh, yeah. Who are you expecting? He said, it's hard for you. Very hard. He said, you can't fight me and get away with it. Now, so I'm going to send you to the Gentiles. So God raised up a prophet to bring his word to pass because there was a transition. There's a transition now, my brother, sister. And remember, before there could be a transition, the pillar of fire had to be there sanctioning the transition and putting it into effect. So before William Branham was even born, God was waiting for him. William Branham was going about his life. One day God smote him down, so to speak. Brought him to his senses in the river, Ohio River, down there by Jeffersonville. Appearing over him where people saw the rainbow. The rainbow, I suppose, what was befogged, the pillar of fire, so they couldn't see it, because no man can see it except in reflection unless it is a prophet. So they saw what the pillar of fire brought out from it, which was the rainbow, the seven-colored rainbow, with no doubt multifacets within it. And said, look, there's time for a change. The Gentile era is over. We're going back to Israel. But you know what? God disposed of Israel. You know how he disposed of Israel? He scattered him. Yep, now he's bringing them together. What he did to us as a bride, he scattered us all through the earth. That was just natural, because he takes one here and one there. That's why Brother Branham said, you can worship God in Africa. The same Holy Spirit in your heart's up here. We're all one. We're one in a greater form than that in this hour, too. I know that for a fact. No one can tell me different from that, because we are. Because he said we would be. All right, now at the end time, what's happening? There's a word bringing a bride together. And one time this whole body's going to be in one place, and they'll start going up and meet up there before his presence. So Brother Branham said, listen, he said, I'm going to tell you flat. He said, you talk about a rapture, but not one of you got the revelation. Not one of you know what I'm talking about. Now, he said, to understand, you're going to have to let all your thinking go, and you're going to have to act as though you never heard of anything, but there was a rapture, but who knows what it's about. It's just like that word thingamabob. Well, what in the world's a thingamabob? Well, 50 million minds have 50 million ideas. Everybody knows a thingamabob ain't nothing really. And yet it's something. So that's the way rapture is. Everybody's got an idea. Everybody's got a wrong idea. There's a rapture, and who knows? Shut up and listen. Remember Brother Bass said that woman talking in tongues, and prophesying, blah, blah, blah. He said, woman, shut up and sit down. And that's what he said to the church in a nutshell. Thank you, Brother Branham. Nice boy. I love yours. I love your couth. Oh, yeah, they thought he was uncouth. Why, they said she's got fresh bread. Fresh bread, tongues and interpretation, fresh bread. Where did the word of God come by people speaking in tongues and somebody interpreting? They were speaking in tongues, interpreting. Paul said, did the word of God come? Get you to come out of here. He said, shut up and sit down. He said, there's a prophet among you. He'll believe what I say. Is anybody full of the Holy Ghost or you do speak in tongues? If you're full of the Holy Ghost, you'll shut up with your tongues and you'll sit down and say, yes, Brother Paul, what you say is the commandment of God. And William Branham stood there and he said, woman, shut up and sit down. I'm going to tell you, woman, about the rapture. And she went, signifying Brother Branham's a jackass. Because that's, I think, the term jackass means. You put your ears, your fingers in your ears, and you wiggle like this, and you got big ears, big jackass, and you poke your tongue out. That's what a jackass does. You wiggle your ears and brays. Let me tell you something. A jackass does not sound like a sheep. You remember the story one time Aesop told about this jackass that he wanted to scare everybody and take the king of animals over, and he knew that the king of the animals was a lion. So one day he went to the pawn shop and bought a lion skin. And he put the lion skin on and crouched down and went too quick, and they all scattered until he opened his mouth to tell him he was going to reign over him, but he brayed like a jackass. He wasn't a lion anymore. Aesop's fable. Very true. The church said Brother Branham was a jackass. They hated his cutting words. They were glad when he died. And they said, wasn't it too bad? That man had such a great ministry, but you see, he got puffed in the head. He got carried away. I got news for you. I'm going to get carried away. Amen. With Brother Branham. He got carried away. God had pity. They don't know the first thing about a prophet. Every prophet's got to die, brother, sister. They got to go. The true prophets coming up are going to die. They're going to get killed. First of all, they can't be killed. Then the magic word is that we have found the Achilles heel. We know how to kill them, and they'll kill them. And they'll lie there 3.5 days, and there'll be a resurrection. God's last warning to a world that's gone down. You see, the rapture's secret. And the resurrection is secret to the Gentiles, so nobody really knows. And the bride gets out of here 1 and 2 at a time. It's very secret. And the prophet said, yes, there is a secret rapture, like the woman in a trance in an Irvingite meeting said. Yeah. Now, how come everybody that believes this message does not correct Brother Branham? Say, Brother Branham, you know that was that secret rapture junk, you know, that was said by a woman in an Irvingite meeting. So I went to Brother Branham on the same story. I thought I had it by the short hair. That's, you know, back where it hurts the back of the neck. Ma used to do this. She'd take the hair and put her finger like a little ring. You twist, you know? They call that hunger in a buttock. See, short hair. Yeesh. Right by the back of the neck. Doesn't feel too good. Ma was good at her pinches, whatever. What's the little Mounds boy that didn't like to be pinched in church? Who is that, Christopher? Okay, Chris, I'm with you, kid. I like to get pinched in church or out of church. Oh, yeah, right by the short hair, you know. That's where it is. That's where that pole is. Can't stand that pole. They don't like that pole, see? They don't want that. Can't stand it. Nobody wants it. Brother Brand came right by and he said, now look here, he said, I'm going to tell you something. He said, that rapture absolutely is something that you know about in the sense that you're familiar with the word, but you don't know anything about it. And what you do know about it is wrong. Like I said, I tried to go to him and say, now Brother Brand, this message that you preach, secret rapture, you know, that secret rapture, I said, brought up by this woman in an Irvingite meeting, fell flat in her back in a darkened room and spoke in tongues, prophesied. And he looked at me and he said, well, he said, Lee, it's a secret rapture anyway. I spoke to him by the short hair, see? Prove my point. Now we're preaching the presence, and so they're saying, well, that's what Russell preached. I don't care if the devil with four horns preached it. I don't care. I don't care if all the devils in hell came down and had a barbecue and a sideshow. And every trumpet came down gilded and beautiful and swayed and tinkered in the breeze and blew out lovely words and lovely songs. It doesn't bug me one little bit. Because the presence is still real. As far as I'm concerned, you do what you want with it. Oh, yeah. And so Brother Branham came and he said, I got news for you people. He said, you don't understand the rapture. And when you hear it, and the people do understand, it's going to cause a fight. Scoffers are going to rise. Yeah. Now we talked about that which concerns the rapture, concerning your thinking. But Brother Branham said in page 6, and I won't have time to go into this, I want to speak on the subject of the rapture. So what's the subject? Rapture. And a subject that nobody knows like he knows it. And if you don't know it like he knows it, you ain't got it. And you ain't going. Well, you say, Brother Vail, I don't know that. Well, let's put a little joke to it. Years ago, when I was going to a certain place to take certain training, a little joke came out. And this guy says to his girl, he said, listen, he said, do you know the difference between a streetcar and a taxi? And she said, no. He said, great, we'll take a streetcar. So if you don't know the truth of a rapture, you don't know a taxi from a streetcar. You follow what I'm saying? All right. That's the truth of it. You see, I could have said something about a horse from a mule, but or a cow. That's not as good as the joke. Because you see, the streetcar and the taxi are both means of conveyance and will get you home. And I'm going to tell you, if you miss the last bus you walk home, you'll be here for the Great Tribulation. The rapture means catching away. And Brother Branham said, we're dealing with the rapture. And let's say the rapture is the taxi. Then you don't take a streetcar. Because though they both speak of conveyance, one is not the other. And when you speak of rapture being a catching up, the rapture that the world preaches is not the rapture. They're going to stay here and miss the bus. You see what I'm talking about? Now he said, I'm going to background it. And he said, the Lord is my light and my salvation. All right. The word Lord, that's the one we're talking about. He is my light. That means my brightness, my clarity, my revelation. And the revelation, which is my Lord, is my deliverance. Because that's what salvation is. Now, if you ain't got the right revelation of him and what he's doing, you ain't got no rapture. You got no deliverance. So, when this comes upon the earth, you're not going to make it. Now you say, Brother Vail, I don't like that kind of preaching. I don't like it either, so I'm not as bloodthirsty as people think I am. But I got to preach what I got to preach. I got no choice. Now he says, of whom shall I be afraid? In whom shall I be afraid? The Lord is my strength of my life. Of whom shall I be afraid? Now he tells you. At this time, the bride has Christ in light and deliverance. And there is no fear. Why are people so scared? I don't understand. It's just like years ago when Brother Branham would preach on the baptism of the Holy Ghost, and say anybody doesn't have the Holy Ghost, they'd run to the altar. Every preacher about run to the altar. I always sat there, old reprobate Vail, cruddiest of the cruddy. Never ran for it. I said, just a minute, either I got it or I don't. Now, if I don't got it, I better run. If I do got it, I better not run. So I said, well, Brother Vail, you see, don't talk to me about you see. I see it's you that don't see. Why should I make God a liar just to preach somebody? Somebody wants to keep running up and say, well, I don't know if I got it. Well, I do know that I got it. What if you made a mistake? Well, that's the way it's supposed to be. How am I going to find out? Tell me. Will I go to heaven and have an audience? Will I pull him down to addition me? Now he's in my mouth, the word of faith. I do what the Bible says. No, he said, whom should I be afraid? Why should I be afraid? What should I be afraid of? The Comforter has come. The long, long night is past. The morning breaks at last. And hush the dreadful sound and fear of the blasts o'er the distant hill. Never mind the distant hill. He's here. It must be the breaking of the day. It is the breaking of the day. It's no longer saying, would God it were morning, would God it were night. It's morning. You say, what about these hard times coming? What about them? What's that got to do with it? See, that's the trouble. People, you say, well, I think I ought to find something to be scared of. Go ahead, be my guest. Maybe like a few more diseases. I'm trying to get rid of my diseases. Would you like a few of mine? Are you looking for more bills? Oh, he said, no, Brother Bill. Then why you look for more fear? why scared? Now you say, well, Brother Bill, you said you're running scared. That's a different type of fear. My running scared is this, to be 100% with the message, and I fear at one little tiny point I might not be. The other fear, they win. When the wicked eat my enemies, my foes shall come to eat my flesh up. They'll stumble and fail. The host encamps about me. My heart won't fear. They rise in war. I'll be confident. For I desire the Lord, and I seek after it, that I may dwell in the house of the Lord all the days of my life, and behold the beauty of the Lord, and inquire in his temple. Why, he said, that's what I've always longed for, to know I'm bride. Sure, we got a bride message. When you believe the word, it proves you're part of the bride. For in the time of trouble, he shall hide me in the pavilion. Well, if you're hidden in the pavilion, they can't get at you. In the secret of his tabernacle, that's the bride. She's a secret bride for a secret rapture. He hides me. I'm set upon a rock, the rock of revelation. Why, the bride's waiting for revelation. And the revelation is this. Am I a part of the rapture? Absolutely. Absolutely. Now, he said, you, some of you differ from me. Further differed. They all differed. Everybody differed. William Branham alone had the revelation. Why, he said it's going to bring off scoffers. Scoffers of what? The message. You believe that? What's the message? The first third of the rapture. The first third of the rapture. And then they say, well, Brother Bill believes it's a progression. I certainly do. Brighter and brighter. Because the perfect day. I'm going on and on. It's more and brighter and brighter. I'm not brighter. He's brighter. I'm not more loving. He's more loving. I'm not more graceful. He is more full of grace. I'll exceed the Christ any day of the week. He's got it all. And I'm hanging around for the drippings. Oh, yeah. Or they're going to say all things continue. Don't mean to tell me that from the first stage to the next, you all sever. It all runs the same. You get born again, and you come up, and that's the way it is. That's the way it isn't. Got to have a prophet. Got to have the presence. Oh, they said, get away with that stuff. Go on, get away. That's fine. See? See now, Brother Branham said, they'll look for impersonations of truth. What's impersonation of truth? Now, impersonation, he means he imitates me to the end that he's going to deceive somebody. What's impersonation of truth? To bring the Bible to the end that you're going to fool somebody. Right with Cain. Why, he said, don't tell me the first fruit offering is not in the Bible. Why, he said, the first fruit offering is superior to the to the sacrifice offering. He said, anybody can see that. Why, he said, look, let's face it. He said, lamb's blood makes good fertilizer, and look what I got out of the fertilizer, beautiful fruit. Why, he said, I'm there. And Abel said, now hold it. The revelation says blood, then fruit. You got the same people saying the same thing right now. They don't believe in the presence. They don't believe in the message. They don't believe in the rapture, which makes a difference. This is the hour of catching away. This is what the message is all about. This is what William Branham is all about. This is what the presence is all about. Rapture. And they say, let me see now. What is it all about? Well, you see, brother, what it is not that stuff that Dale preaches, that presence, and those other churches just like him. What it is those peripheral doctrines. He tried to pull that on Bob Brown, and Bob said, Eddie, this is the message. Yeah. But we got to be real sweet. I'm going to tell you something. I got a tougher head than a whore.
Amen.
You say, brother, they'll watch it. You watch it. The chips are down.
Amen.
You do what you want. You do what you want. And I'm going to do what I want. And when the day comes I can't do it, I walk out. And I'll take my battle down the road muttering to myself, you do what you want. That goes to anybody and everybody. Brother Branham stood against the whores. And he did not take any one person apart. He took the whole system apart. And I'm not thinking of any one person today. I'm thinking of everything that comes against this word, because Brother Branham said it would be scoffers over the rapture doctrine. Of which self is the message. And Brother Branham called it his message that he was packing. And he said, God's message, which he was packing. He said, I was only the voice. And he said, that's rapture. Oh, you say, but it's not. I don't care what you say. You do what you want. You see, you're so scribbled up in your minds and so rotten in your minds with your creeds, your dogmas, and your spiritual whoredoms. And you're fornicating with the word. Messing everybody's life up that they simply cannot get to the place of understanding that rapture, the way Brother Branham taught it, is the only way it is right. And everything else is wrong. Where you say, Brother Bale, listen, there's some great fine men out there. I agree there's great fine men there. Brother, my good friend Peter was a great and fine man, a wonderful man. He was a marvelous man. He opened the door to the Jews. He opened the door to the Gentiles. He was a spokesman for the whole company at Pentecost. He had the keys, so to speak. And one day, James the Judaizer came down. He said, now, just a minute, Peter. There's that Barnabas there with Paul. I want you to know this one thing. We've already decided that the Gentiles cannot have things. They must not engage in fornication. They must not have things strangled or offered to idols. And this boy hasn't been circumcised. Now, you know jolly well that if he's going to be one of us and he's going to be in the bride, the kingdom, he's got to be circumcised. And they worked on him. And Peter worked on him. And Barnabas was circumcised. And Paul came down. He said, Peter, what did you do? Oh, now we love each other, Brother Paul. We just love each other. He said, love my foot. Barnabas, out. Out! If you've got so little, the Judaizers can take a Gentile and bring him back to Judaism. Out! And Barnabas was gone. And he said, Peter, who do you think you are? Who do you think you are? You that ate with the Jews, the Gentiles. Now, he said, you're trying to put a burden on them more than we can bear. Who did sin when you went down to the Gentiles and ate with them? You're a God, Peter! And Peter slunk off full of the Holy Ghost. Let me tell you flat. Men like Bosworth didn't know in the presence of William Branham. Of another age. You can't bring your doctrines from yesteryear into this message. You can't do one thing about it. Those men for the Holy Ghost years ago have no part with us.
Right.
Because there was no revelation for the Holy Ghost to witness to at that time concerning the rapture. The only witness had was it's in the Word, it's there. There's a mystery about it. And Brother Branham said, the first pull of the rapture. And remember, the seventh seal is in three parts. Yeah. And he said, the devil could get a hold of this, great damage would be done. Are you listening, people? Are you listening? The trying to tell you for a long time. Revelation 10, 1 to 7 was the seventh seal, is the rapture, is the whole thing. Is that coming? We'll get into more and more of this because we're going to close now because time's all but over. Once you understand this flat, brother, sister, there's a war going on. It's a spiritual war. And the scoffers are there because they can't stand the rapture. They can't stand the present. You say, what if you're wrong? Then I'm wrong. You say, oh, Brother Vail, don't Brother Vail me. I see, I've watched you. I watch you all the time. Don't think I don't. See, I'm where the apostles were. If this isn't it, who gives a rip?
Amen.
It's not that you don't give a rip, but my God, what are you going to do?
Right.
Tell me, what are you going to do? Let the women prove they got it by making the prettiest dress. You never compare to the Miller girls, I don't think, because of years of training. Let me paint a sign instead of my good friend Brian here. Oh, Brian, you'll see a sign. You'll see the signs of the times. Catastrophe, my boy, and judgment. What do women do? Bake a better cake? Fat. We've got mechanics sitting here. I'd like to see you fix some cars today. Got engineers sitting here, a couple of them maybe. Who knows how many? I don't know. Salesmen. College graduates. What can you do or get anybody to do for you? Nothing. It's faith. I believe this message, this is what Brother Branham preached. According to my understanding. But I'm past 21. I'm an American citizen. I'm democratic in my principles. Not politically, but in my principles. It's a democratic nation, so-called republic. And I've got the right to stand and preach what I want. And to contradict where I want. To admonish where I want. And do what I want as long as I realize.